direct your attention to one verse of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. We read, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She pondered them. We are told about Mary here that she was a woman who had great depth spiritually and emotionally. And as one who had heard great things, she also had the capacity to contemplate them, to meditate upon them. That is what it means when it says that she pondered them in her heart. And in these last moments of this year's carol service, I want you just to think upon what Mary pondered. What were these things that she pondered in her heart? And I would suggest to you that there are four things. There are probably others that we could mention, but time doesn't permit. But there are four things that I would commend to your meditation this evening. First of all, she could ponder the impressive announcement that she had received just 9 months before, that she was to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of his humanity. That impressive announcement had been given to her by an angel. And so she could ponder the reality of having heard a messenger who actually came directly from the presence of God and who came to hold communication with her. She could ponder that she had heard from heaven itself. She could also ponder that of which the angel had spoken to her, the promised miracle, the miracle of the virgin birth, the miracle by which the Holy Ghost would overshadow her and the power of the highest would come upon her, so that the holy thing that would be born of her would be the Son of God, so that there would happen in the body of Mary a miraculous thing that would never happen again and that had never happened before. The virgin would give birth, and would give birth to one who was not only truly a man, but who was also the Son of God, eternally God. She could ponder that aspect of the announcement, the promise of the miracle, and she could ponder as she sat there next to that manger in Bethlehem, in that stable, she could ponder the encouraging fulfillment of what the angel had announced. That all that the angel had said came to pass. That the very thing that the angel had told her had happened to her cousin Elizabeth, who was already in her sixth month, carrying the one who would be John the Baptist. That was given as evidence to Mary that God was able to do things that were judged impossible. The angel said, "Nothing shall be impossible with God." And Mary, we read, believed what the angel said and submitted herself to what the angel said. And then, in the providence of God, was brought to Bethlehem, the place where the prophet had predicted Jesus would be born. And while they were there, we read in Luke 2, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. That virgin-born son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. She could ponder the encouraging fulfillment, and that surely if this part of what God had promised was fulfilled before her very eyes, fulfillment that she herself experienced. Surely everything else that was told her about her son would come to pass. So she pondered the impressive announcement. But then she could ponder as well the expressive name that both she and Joseph were told to give to her firstborn son. And that was the name of Jesus. That is the Greek equivalent of the Old Testament name Joshua. Jehovah saves. Jehovah is the Savior. And in that name that was given to that firstborn son, a name that was not unique to him in Israel, there were others who were given the name Joshua or Jehoshua, but given to him in a way like no other, because he was truly the one who was the revelation of Jehovah. He was Jehovah incarnate. So that when in the Garden of Gethsemane they came to seek him, and he asked them, "Who is it that you're looking for?" And he said to them, they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said simply to them, "I am." And such was the power of that revelation of God's very person in their midst that they went backward and fell on the ground. The revelation of God. That is what Mary beheld in that manger in Bethlehem. She looked on God incarnate. And though there were times in the life of Jesus on this earth when Mary did not always understand what he said, nevertheless, she could not escape the reality that that name that was given to him was a name that spoke of Jehovah. Jehovah has come. Jehovah has appeared in the earth. And at the same time that that name revealed God, it also underscored the mission of mercy on which God had become manifest in human flesh. Jehovah saves. Jehovah had come to save his people from their sins. And Mary, throughout the years when Jesus was living in her home, in the home that she and Joseph shared together, for after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph did consummate their marriage and lived as husband and wife and had other children. But in that home, that by the way is contrary to Roman Catholic teaching, in that home, she pondered the fact that this one had come on a mission of mercy. He had come ultimately to save. He had come ultimately to undertake that work of redemption. So she could ponder the impressive announcement and the expressive name. And then she could ponder the shepherd's story. Here she was with Joseph and her son lying in that manger, the livestock in the stable all around. And into that stable that night came these shepherds, these outdoorsmen, these men who spent their lives caring for sheep and dealing with sheep. And now they come in their shepherd's garb and they appear in that stable. And they have a story to tell. What was the story? They too had heard the angel. They too had heard the angel proclaiming the message of the gospel. For the angel had said that there were good tidings of great joy to be delivered to them. And not only to them, but to all people. Because unto them had been born in the city of David that day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They had heard the gospel. They had heard the evangel preached by the angel. And they related that, no doubt, to Mary and to Joseph. so that they could have yet another witness to the uniqueness of this little baby. And then they could relate how not only had they heard that gospel message from one angel, but they had heard the heavenly anthem, the Alleluias, as thousands and thousands of the heavenly host praised God with that great anthem. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. And as they pondered, as she could ponder their amazing story, she would have to note their humble appearance. And to note again that here is the way God works. He puts the most glorious tidings into the mouths of those from whom we least expect to hear them. The shepherd's story was another thing that she kept and pondered in her heart. But then, the last thing of all, she could ponder the precious infant. I don't think that we can fully appreciate the impact of what it was for her to gaze upon that little infant, that newborn. There's something wondrous, of course, for every mother gazes upon a newborn, especially a firstborn. But for her, she knew it was such a different experience. She had given birth without knowing any man in the way in which would lead to a baby being born. And yet there was that baby, virgin born, God manifest in the flesh and so completely perfect. The only birth, can you comprehend it? The only birth in the entire history of the world where the baby lying in the manger was not born depraved, was not born corrupt, was not born ungodly. The only time, completely perfect, completely sinless, not only at that point, but would remain so throughout life, for he could not sin. And the most amazing thing about that completely perfect one that was born was that he was born to die on Calvary. From that moment, when he lay in that manger, he was headed for the cross. As we saw this morning, those gifts that the wise men brought were gifts ultimately that spoke of gloom, spoke of a cross, spoke of a tomb. And so she could ponder that as well. Here was one whose destiny would be fulfilled in dying. How much different from the hopes that every mother cherishes for her newborn. Every mother has hopes and dreams and expectations for what life will bring for each baby born to her. But for Mary, those hopes were wrapped up in this great truth that Jesus had come for a certain hour, and that when that hour came, he would give himself to die on the cross. So there was much for her to ponder, and much for us to ponder, when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ entering this world. We can rejoice tonight that long ago in Bethlehem, and long ago in Galilee, and long ago on Calvary, Jesus lived and died for me.